Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
All right, so they signed Quintez Cephas. And Matt, you know that I have the Bills roster, the chart, and I always put it out when they make additions. I kind of didn't know where to put them because here's what I have. I have Samuel Coleman, Shakir, and Hollins. Are we going to agree they're the top four, however you want to? That's it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. After that, here's who I had before Cephas. Justin Shorter, Andy Isabella, Tyrell Shavers, Brian Thompson, KJ Hamler. Now, I do think they believe KJ Hamler can rise up, but right now I'm like, dude, it's been a couple of years, hasn't really played, couldn't crack the Colts being on the practice squad last year. I'll keep him on the bottom, below guys who have been in the organization for a year. I put Quintez Cephas actually right below Justin Shorter. I have Samuel Coleman, Shakir, Holland, Shorter, Cephas, Isabella, Shavers, Thompson, Hamler. But again, this goes back to your point of, okay, like you need more there. For me, the issue is the top end of the roster, the top four. This is like a discussion you would have about the Sabres. They need another top six guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's a top four guy.
Yeah, exactly. It's somebody that could take Mac Collins and put him at the top of that next tier. That's what they need. They need somebody else who's going into the season that it's we're past the point of them going out and finding like a legitimate number one. That's not what I'm thinking is going to happen. But if you can find a guy who's at least a serviceable two, that's what I think you need. And then if your top four is Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, and somebody else who's at least closer to kind of that tier, then I think you can feel a little bit better about it given the other weapons offensively that they have. But also, what if there's an injury? If there's an injury at wide receiver, they're like, I'm just... The nightmare would be that all of a sudden you're in a playoff game and your wide receivers are Mac Collins and one of the other guys, and you don't know what you're going to get out of these players. So, yeah, I thought that they were in a little bit of a nightmare scenario last year in that playoff game against the Chiefs because they didn't have Gabe Davis. And you're like, well, why are they throwing these deep shots to Trent Sherfield? This isn't working. Well, now they don't have Stephon Diggs either. They don't have Gabe Davis. They don't have Trent Sherfield. It's like, what can we expect from these guys?
Okay, so I think the Bills would tell you, well, you guys are not talking about Dalton Kincaid. Because, yes, he's listed as a tight end, but he is obviously a really big part. In fact, what are the odds that Dalton Kincaid leads the team in targets? I actually think it could happen.
Oh, I'm expecting it at this point.
Okay.
Unless they do something different.
So isn't then... I'm not defending this. I'm just asking you. Isn't then, if we look at the depth chart, actually, shouldn't we say, well, Dalton Kincaid, your number one receiver?
No.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, not a true number one receiver. But he's going to be used like that. What do we say about the Chiefs? Well, look at the receiver room. Ah, they have Travis Kelce. People bring it up all the time.
Yeah, but Travis Kelce might be the best tight end ever. And Dalton Kincaid is going into year two. And Patrick Mahomes is unbelievable. So I don't think that it's a sure that might be the blueprint here, but to ask Dalton Kincaid to all of a sudden, like Dalton Kincaid had a strong rookie season, but he's not all of a sudden going to just get 100.
He's not going to be Travis Kelce, but if he's your number one targeted pass catcher, shouldn't we be talking about him? Because I think the Bills would tell you, if you ask Brandon Bean right now to break down, he would include him, and we're not. Yes. That's my point.
Yeah. Well, he would include him, and because that makes it look like it's less of an issue. Don't you think?
Sure, I get it. I don't know how I'm trying to ask this to get, like, I'm not getting where I want to go. I'm sorry.
No, I understand what you're saying. That Dalton Kincaid should probably lead this team in targets, but even if he leads this team in targets, they have way more targets that need to be spread around. He had, what, like 71 catches last year on, you know, like he had a really good rookie season. Even if he has 100 catches next year, which I feel like is probably the ceiling, like 100 catches for a tight end would be a ridiculous season for the Buffalo Bills. But that's not enough. And there's also just not the big explosive, big playability that you have when you have a wide receiver like Stephon Diggs, or when you have a wide receiver who can stretch the field. Like Dalton Kincaid is going to catch.
What's six, not enough? Yards. Not what you're saying. 100 targets isn't enough for your number one. Like, what do you mean? 100 catches? I mean,
no, I'm saying that's that. If that's where he gets to, that's good. But then there's still way more targets that need to be spread around somewhere. And that's where I don't know where they're going, because okay, he already was pretty productive last year. So even if he has another 30 catches, they have way more than 30 more catches that need to be distributed to people.
Right. But I think we're both in agreement then that it's very unlikely that any of these other guys get over 100 catches, right?
Oh, I would bet. I would think that would be a really big long shot that any receiver on this team gets over 100 catches.
The only player we think could do it is Dalton Kincaid.
Yes.
So therefore, I go back to what I said earlier, which is I think that maybe we have to kind of think of a little bit differently about how we're thinking about this, is my point.
Yes, you're right, but that doesn't mean that that's a good idea.
Okay.
That's where I am. I am fully expecting Dalton Kincaid to be their number one target on offense, but I don't think that's a good idea.
If he's
a 1B and there's a 1A, like if they still had Stephon Diggs, and I know that this is a hypothetical, and we saw his production come down and Kincaid's go up, that would have been the way to kind of bridge this gap into what the new look offense is going to look like. I just think that even that is too big of a step to just assume that he can take.
Maybe Dalton Kincaid never lines up on the line and blocks and he just becomes a slot receiver full time. I don't know. No, I'm being facetious, but I don't disagree with you. It's not a great idea. I'm coming at it from more of an analytic standpoint of maybe we have to kind of rethink how we think they're thinking about the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I know. But I think that they're thinking about it more of like, we're going to distribute the ball to everybody. Yep. We're not going to force the ball to anybody. We're going to try and play a more balanced game. Like, I think that in their heads, that's what Joe Brady wants to do. And they think of Curtis Samuel as a guy, okay, we're going to get him the ball. We're going to let him go do things. We're expecting another step from Khalil Shakir. These are all very reasonable things to, you know, assume that you're going to be able to execute. But my issue is there are times when you just need a guy. There's times when you need a player who you know is going to make a play. Now, Diggs was not that guy in the postseason, hardly ever. So maybe they think that they can, you know, get more out of somebody else. But, and I don't know, there's just a lot of games when Stephon Diggs was the best player on the field for them or the second best player on the field, and now he's gone.
We talked a lot about wide receiver, and justifiably so. I asked fans today to send us their favorite pick and their least favorite pick from the Bills 2024 draft. Got a lot of really interesting answers, mostly because Keon Coleman was on a lot of lists in both ways, Matt. Keon Coleman was favorite and Keon Coleman was least favorite for a lot of people. Let's go to Bill's Reddit, who says the center, SVPG, getting a guy who can develop into the center of the future is great. Least favorite, Travis Clayton, wonderful story, but even depth level, kind of a wasted draft pick. Nick says favorite pick was the safety, Utah, Bishop, Cole Bishop out of Utah. Least favorite was Keon Coleman. Seemed like a reach. And what else we got? Favorite again, Koala Bear says SVPG. And then Grable, least favorite. Interesting. Okay. Here's a favorite for Keon Coleman now. This is Nathan. Least favorite, Ray Davis. What do you say? Favorite, least favorite, for whatever reason that is.
Ooh, that's a tough question. I would say
we took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night, ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
My favorite pick is probably Keon Coleman, but it has less to do with the player itself and more the position, because I at least appreciate the fact that they recognize they need a wide receiver, and I think that the upside is there. I think Keon Coleman could be a really good player, and I think that since he's been drafted, I've started to do a lot more research, reading, looking into his game. And I'm not as concerned about the speed as maybe some people are. I just think that he's going to be it's hard for me to make the argument I just made about them still needing a wide receiver and now come here and say that I think Keon Coleman's going to make an immediate impact. But I think he's going to. It's just not going to be nearly what we saw from Stephon Diggs and maybe even from Gabe Davis. I'm going into this season expecting Keon Coleman gets like 50 to 60 catches, a couple touchdowns, some really nice big-time catches, but also, hey, you still need to address wide receiver. So Keon Coleman is my favorite pick because of at least the position, and that they addressed it with somebody who does have that upside. My least favorite pick, I don't know. I don't have one because I don't know. I can't tell you that any of these guys are definitely going to work out or they're not going to work out. I would say the corner from Penn State, because he's just basically a returner. Yeah. He's 5'9". I don't see him getting a path to the field other than as a returner. So that's what I would say.
My favorite would be Javon Solomon, because I think when you put up those kinds of sack numbers, you have a chance in the NFL. He's productive. And he went to Troy. This is a school that produced OC Umenyora and DeMarcus Ware. And he had more sacks than them there. And he led all FBS in sacks. And then I went and looked at his size. He's the exact same size as Jerry Hughes. And I think that's really cool because it shows that he's an undersized pass rusher, put up big time numbers. I think he has a chance to translate. And I just love talking to him too. And I think he's got all the different, you know, things that embody what you're looking for in a guy and a player and those kinds of things. We talked about the leadership qualities the Bills brought in, but this guy, he even talked about, I asked him, why didn't you go to Alabama or or Florida State? You grew up right there. And even in NIL and Portal, he didn't do that. And he's like, because once I was at Troy, they made a commitment to me. I wanted to see that through friendships, community, teammates. I just loved all of that. That's my favorite pick. My least favorite has nothing to do with the player. I just don't like picking running backs in the fourth round. They took Ray Davis, a running back in the fourth round. I mean, he's got to play now. And I don't know how he's going to play that much to justify taking a running back in the fourth round. He's also going to be 25 years old. They're going to play him for 4 years and move on from him, most likely, which is fine. Yeah. It's what you do at running back. Nothing to do with the player. The guy had 1,000 yards in his career at three different schools. It's fine. Yeah. He may be a fine player. He's not starting over James Cook, and I'm fine with Ty Johnson as the backup.
Yeah, I don't hate the Ray Davis pick for the reason that you say is a negative, that he's 25 years old. I don't think it's a negative.
I just think it's kind of odd.
Yeah, no, for sure. I just think that maybe that's exactly what they're going to do. Yeah. For them, that's what they're thinking is the cost for 4 years of a running back is probably your number two guy. And I would imagine with James Cook, they have to figure out, is this a long-term contract or do we just go draft another guy on day two? And Ray Davis can be the consistent backup guy. The thing I like about Ray Davis is the big play potential, even though he's not super fast and he's a little bit undersized. He's undersized from a strictly height standpoint. But, you know, I was talking in our office here to somebody who I work with who's a pretty big Bills fan, and they were like, I just don't get how they would draft somebody that size to be like their, you know, short yardage running back. And I was like, well, he's almost the same size as Maurice Jones-Drew. And that was never an issue because he was a little bowling ball. He's actually 10 pounds heavier than Maurice Jones-Drew was, and he's an inch taller. So I don't think that the size scares me away. I like your call on Solomon because I think that when you can get to the quarterback, you can get to the quarterback.
Yep.
I know he's going to be going against way more talented people, but we've seen it translate for all the other guys that you mentioned. You left out Mario Addison, former Bill, who had a nice career. Like Mario Addison was a nice player. So I don't mind those.
He went to Troy.
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The only other one that we haven't mentioned who I really like, I don't know. I don't think he's got as much upside as people that they could have taken, but I also think the floor is a lot higher. I just think Dwayne Carter is going to come in and be like a really good rotational defensive tackle.
Agreed. Like, agreed. I really like him too.
I think that's like the safest pick that they have. I feel like in that day, I feel like in that day two range, that's almost what you're looking for. I feel like you've got to go for the upside at times, but Cole Bishop and Dwayne Carter to me both feel like pretty safe picks. Sure, they've got upside, but I also think the floor is pretty high on those guys.
I like that call. Elko Hours on Twitter says his favorite was Dwayne Carter because I believe he's a day one rotational piece and a need. And I agree with that. And Brandon Breen said plug and play. He's going to play. He said his least favorite is Ray Davis, drafting a nearly 25-year-old running back when you get a cheap UDFA rather than picking this late. I mean, he's cheap anyway. He's on a cheap contract. I don't care about that part of it. I don't care about the 25 years old that much. Just so everybody, I just think it's wild that he's 25. But it is kind of like getting a running back coming into a second contract and getting him only for a first contract. And I just don't like the value for a running back in the fourth round.